from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, November 18th. Coming up, the latest on widespread drinking water contamination caused by a 3M manufacturing plant along the Mississippi River. We get that story from Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Local health care providers are dealing with a big surge in severe childhood respiratory infections. Araceli Gomez Aldana reports.
Illinois Public Health Director Samir Varag said only 9% of pediatric ICU beds are available statewide.
But earlier this week, that number was as low as 4%. Even during the worst moments of the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw nothing like this. In fact, we never dropped below 50%. The current surge that we are seeing is putting a significant strain on our hospital systems.
Doctors are concerned because the spike in RSV cases is bumping up against this year's flu season. Health officials are urging people to get flu and COVID vaccines, wear masks, and keep children home when they're sick. I'm Araceli Gomez Aldana.
Urbana High School students are learning remotely again today as part of a continued investigation into threats made against the school on Wednesday. This is the third round of threats to harm people in the school in 2 weeks. Classes were remote yesterday as a safety precaution. Mike Cervantes leads investigations at the Urbana Police Department. He says law enforcement has not determined whether the threats all come from the same suspect.
We haven't made that determination 100% on whether or not these are related or this is just part of a problem and a trend that's been going on across the nation.
Cervantes says these threats can come with a serious legal penalty. A conviction on a charge of making a terroristic threat could mean a prison sentence between 6 and 30 years. Former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan is still a fundraising force, even while facing federal corruption charges. Dave McKinney has that story.
Madigan personally asked donors to contribute to his 13th Ward Democratic Organization Fund and stressed any donation should be considered, quote, voluntary. That was after being indicted for racketeering and bribery and after the feds subpoenaed the fund itself. Labor unions answered Madigan's call to the tune of $420,000. Former Chicago Inspector General Joe Ferguson says the ex-speaker may be squirreling that money away for his legal defense. While that's allowed under state law, Ferguson says it undermines faith in government.
If the question is there an appearance that should give us concern, the answer is yes, especially given the history.
Madigan has already spent nearly $8 million in campaign funds on his criminal defense. This is Dave McKinney.
The University of Illinois Pakistani Student Association is encouraging fellow students to donate to relief efforts in Pakistan, where flooding has put nearly one-third of the country underwater. Mackenzie Johnson is a professor and member of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee for the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences. She says Pakistan must find the means to talk about climate issues on a global level to get the help they need.
It's really unclear how these countries suffering the effects of climate change will be able to have this platform to request aid. And even the aid that a lot of these countries do receive doesn't really address the problems.
So far, the U of I student group has raised and donated $2,000 to the Islamic Relief Fund, USA. UNICEF reported last week 11 million children in Pakistan need immediate assistance because of the floods. Still to come, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has found so-called forever chemicals in drinking water near the Mississippi River. We take you there, coming up next on 217 Today.
A big thank you to our members who make WILL's coverage of the news possible, including breaking news and our expanded coverage right now. One more way to help is to donate a vehicle you no longer need. We'll pick up your car, truck, or RV, get top dollar for it, and invest the funds right back into bringing you comprehensive coverage of the day's top stories. Donate that unwanted vehicle today and keep your community informed and safe. Get started at will.illinois.edu/carddonation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Environmental Protection Agency has ordered the company 3M to address widespread contamination of drinking water along the border between Illinois and Iowa from its factory on the banks of the Mississippi River. Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco with the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk reports that residents and municipalities on both sides of the river are trying to make sense of what comes next.
Linda Vaughn and her husband have lived in a small white house near the river on the Iowa-Illinois border for decades. Their house is just a few miles away from 3M's sprawling facility on the Illinois side of the river, which means the American manufacturer is now required to test their water, and that of thousands of other people, for traces of PFAS, the toxic family of perfluorinated chemicals used in everyday consumer goods, that sampling has confirmed in nearby water supplies. But Vaughn says she hasn't heard from the company.
Mm-hmm. So has anybody come from 3M to say, hey, we're looking to test your water?
No, they haven't.
Inside the 3M plant, over 500 employees produce the compounds that later make products like Post-it notes and scotch tape sticky. And at various times, the plant has also manufactured or generated PFAS. Exposure to PFAS may increase cancer risks and decrease fertility. For the past decade, Illinois has allowed the plant to dump some of its wastewater into the river. But a few years ago, the company notified the EPA that it had released at least 60 PFAS chemicals from the 3M site into the air, water, and soil that it had not previously reported. Across the river from the plant in Comanche, Iowa, Gary Hopkins sips hot coffee in a diner. Earlier this year, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources found some of the highest concentrations of PFAS in the state, in this town. But Hopkins says so far, he hasn't heard about any issues.
Hey, somebody better get on it and start finding out what it is.
Which is what the EPA told 3M to do. Test the water, find out what's in it. Some testing has been ongoing, but guidance is unclear. Local officials didn't respond to requests for comment. Their websites include some information that testing will happen eventually. And if you're worried, get a water filter or call your doctor. And according to the EPA, the full extent of the contamination remains unknown. That's left many people wondering if the water is safe to drink.
If it's that serious, you know, do some surveys and stuff and find out what's going on and then get it to the doctors and the scientists and stuff and figure out what they can do to stop it.
David Swartney is a professor of environmental engineering at the University of Iowa, where he researches the health effects of environmental contamination. He says PFAS contamination is a growing problem, and that even with treatment, a lot of people won't trust what's coming out of their tap.
Because there's going to be lots more communities just like the ones affected by this plant that will struggle with PFAS. We've still got a long way to go on this chemical class.
Charles Brown is a utilities lab manager for the city of Moline's water treatment plant. He walks through the treatment plant, which filters 5 million gallons of water from the Mississippi River daily for nearly 50,000 people, and says testing and filtering out PFAS is going to cost communities like his a lot of money.
Yeah, when they designed it 100 years ago, PFAS wasn't a thing. And then when they did a big remodel about 20 years ago, PFAS wasn't a thing.
Other than in Cordova, 3M has two major American plants that produce PFAS, one in Minnesota in the Twin Cities and another in Decatur, Alabama. And now the company is facing lawsuits from South Carolina, California, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. The company sent us a statement saying that it is committed to keeping residents informed of progress. Back in Cordova, Linda Vaughn says she's taking a wait-and-see approach to the situation.
I don't think that we've had any problems so far, and my husband's in his 70s, I'm in my 70s, so if something comes up, you know.
3M is required to submit a sampling and treatment work plan for private and public water systems to the EPA by December. Based on that sampling, the EPA will decide what to do next. But for now, people are left to wonder what's coming out of the tap. In Cordova, Illinois, I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
This story is a product of the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk, based at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy and cooler today with a high of 29 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Araceli Gomez-Aldana, Emily Hayes, Dave McKinney, Hannah Lonergan, and Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.